two writers can take credit or blame for the legions of metal men that march through the movies, Karl Čapek, who coined the word robot in his play R.U.R. in 1920, and Isaac Asimov, who codified the three laws of robotics in a series of stories collected in I, Robot, and mostly ignored in the Will Smith movie of the same name.
Well, you know what they say, laws are made to be broken.
No, not these laws. They're hardwired into every robot. A robot can no more commit murder than a human could walk on water.
Well, you know, there was this one guy a long time ago.
Crash, crash, bang, bang, out comes the robot who will threaten humanity. As robots return to the big screen next month in Guillermo del Toro's Pacific Rim, we want you to nominate your favorite robot movie, 800-989-8255, the email address talk@npr.org. Send us a tweet, @TOTN. You can join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org, click on Talk of the Nation. Back with us here in Studio 42, our favorite film buff, Murray Horowitz. Nice to have you back on the program.
It's great to be back, Neil. Thanks.
And what makes it a robot movie? Do you have to have metal?
Yeah, well, we look, there are so many different kinds of robots. There have just been a zillion of, you know, robotic characters, androids and gynoids and cyborgs and bionic men and women, but just artificial intelligences.
Right. Well, for example, 2001. Is HAL 9000 a robot?
Sure, in a way, but we have to draw a line.
More so a computer. That's
Right. Would you like to know our ground rules for today?
Let's have some ground.
So we're not just talking about an artificial intelligence. I mean, this is something that needs to have locomotion, you know, independent motion, machines that move around. And usually they think in the movies. We're not talking about, here's another thing that's going to disappoint a lot of folks, not talking about engineered human bodies like Frankenstein or even the replicants in Blade Runner who are somehow, you know, biological creatures.
Cooked.
Right, cooked. You know, cyborgs are okay.
Yeah,
cyborgs are okay.
Yeah.
Like RoboCop, one of my favorites. Again, as always, we're not talking about TV shows.
Data did show up in the movies, though.
Yes, Data did. And also, of course, there are TV shows that make it to the big screen, and those count. But one of my favorite robots of all time was in a Twilight Zone episode where I think it was Jack Warden fell in love with a robot woman. But robots populate, or we might even say overpopulate, hundreds of sci-fi movies. But few of these are classics. So we want your memorable, lasting robot movies.
Here's an email we have from Milo in New Carlisle, Ohio. One of my favorite.
Right near my hometown of Dayton, I'm sorry.
Well, he mentions the Twilight Zone episode with Jack Warden as a condemned man in space. But anyway, one of my favorite robot movies is The Day the Earth Stood Still, an apocalyptic film about, well, it's a lot of different things, but it does feature a hulking humanoid robot.
So is it a machine or a living thing?
It's both, or neither.
What do you mean, neither?
It seems to be some sort of silicone-based hybrid. We're calling it GORT, genetically organized robotic technology.
It's not military, they're acronyms.
I remember when Michael Rennie called it GORT.
Right, that's right. And what else did he say to GORT? He said, Klaatu Barada Nictu. Right, exactly so. And we'll translate, I don't know, on another program for those of you who don't know.
So as we get in, was there a first robot movie?
No, probably. But I swear I can't tell you exactly what it was because, you know, robots go way, way back. It's an extremely old tension, this tension between the human and the machine, the human and the inhuman. I mean, in Genesis, right, God makes man out of clay. And Prometheus makes a man out of clay. In the Iliad, Hephaestus uses these golden maiden robots mm-hmm. to make the armor of Achilles. So it's a way of our coming to terms with technology. And I guess of examining the questions raised by humans interacting with technology. And the further point, I was talking to my son about this, and he said, you know, it's also about how we relate to our own humanity. Because if a machine can think and feel, then what's our value? And if, like Jack Warden in the Twilight Zone, we can fall in love with a robot, mm-hmm. well, you know, what are the consequences of that?
We'll have to see. Let's get some callers in on the conversation. John is on the line with us from Phoenix.
Hello.
Go ahead, please.
Yes, my nomination would be Metropolis. This goes way back to the 1920s. It was made by a great German filmmaker, Fritz Lang, and it was a very expensive science fiction movie. And in it, it features a robot that is given a female form and a lifelike look.
Yes, a very erotic, the robot Mariah, and or Maria.
Don't they call the wind Mariah? So, that's a different genre.
No. But she's sort of hypersexualized and kind of dangerous, not like her virtuous human counterpart. She's played by Brigitte Helm, and you're right. I don't know if she's the first one to appear on film, but 1927, Fritz Lang, it's a classic.
German days before he came to Hollywood. John, yeah. Thank you very much. Here's an email. This is from Betsy, and I think we're getting a lot like this. My favorite robot movie is WALL-E. It's a touching, funny, and beautifully crafted movie that also sends a poignant message about the dangerous possibilities of our future. Disney Pixar did an amazing job creating a beautiful little hero without needing him to say a single word.
Name? WALL-E.
WALL-E.
Oh, WALL-E.
Steve.
Steve.
And that's about all the dialogue there is. For
I was just going to say, our crack Talk of the Nation staff, leave it to them to find the only possible dialogue you can get in the whole movie. WALL-E is what everybody's favorite. I mean, it's hard to take exception to that film. It's a great film, like you said, it won the Oscar, and WALL-E is, you know, it's not really a humanoid robot, but it's kind of got a face, and so it's a character, and we all relate to him, and it's a terrific movie.
Let's see if we can go next to this is Lyric, and Lyric is with us from Fairbanks.
Hi,
go ahead, please.
Yes, my nomination was Short Circuit, typical 80s movie, but for me it was one of the first movies where I saw a robot that wasn't scary. It was very, you know, I could relate to it. It was loving and caring, and I just thought that was fabulous.
The robot was Johnny Five, a part of a group of experimental robots, and he gets electrocuted, becomes intelligent, but still doesn't understand this little concept we have called death.
Error. Grasshopper, disassemble. Reassemble.
Huh?
Reassemble.
I can't reassemble him. You squashed him. He's dead.
Dead?
Right. Dead as a doornail.
Reassemble, Stephanie. Reassemble.
I know you don't understand, but when you're dead, you're dead. It's just the way it is.
And the robot gives us the opportunity, Murray, to explore stuff that, well, even a child would understand, but an intelligent machine.
Right.
Yeah, I got to explain it.
Right. It's very true because, you know, does it have humanity or does it not? Lyric, I'm grateful to you because especially the timing of this, you can almost say that Johnny Five is like a tall WALL-E and adorable. And you're right. It's a typical 80s film. It's kind of a cult film now. And it's sort of informed by that 80s E.T. sensibility. It's sort of this innocence that you talked about, Neil.
Thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And let's go next to, this is Bud, and Bud on the line with us from Phoenix.
Hi there. I think the definitive robot is the one in Forbidden Planet, and I think his name was Robbie, was it?
His name was indeed Robbie the
Robot. And it still is and ever shall be. Thanks, Bud.
As the crew...
Robbie T. Robot.
Robbie the Robot arrives to welcome a crew led by Leslie Nielsen to Altair 4.
If you do not speak English, I am at your disposal with 187 other languages along with their various dialects and sub-tongues.
Colloquial English will do fine, thank you. This is no offense, but you are a robot, aren't you?
That is correct, sir.
Robbie the Robot, one of MGM's greatest creations. And you know what? I have to stop because mentioning MGM means that we have to take a small second to mourn the passing of Esther Williams.
Oh, of course.
Who went
yes.
today. And
not
of
a robot.
Greats, not a robot in any sense of the word and a wonderful star. But Robbie was a big MGM star and actually I think makes a few other appearances in other movies. And, you know, it's interesting.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Danger, Will. Yes, right. And The other thing that Robbie really shows us is, even in that one movie, he's capable of it depends on who's asking him to do stuff. So robots can be good, they can be evil, a little bit like human beings.
No. I love the scene. Of course, this is based on The Tempest, but I love the scene where Robbie makes alcohol
right, exactly
two
so.
Boisterous members of the crew.
And many cases of it, as
I recall. And many cases, right. Indeed. Bud, thanks very much. This is an email we have from Gary in Buffalo. In your talk, don't forget to mention Robot Monster, one of the worst movies ever, robot or otherwise. If you're unsure of it, they had an actor in a gorilla suit wear a deep-sea diver's helmet to portray Roman, a robot from the moon. Worth it for the laughs.
I'm so glad. Robot Monster, it's got to be on my queue.
Let's see if we can go next to, this is an email, The Terminator from Eric Brown.
Oh, well.
A terrifying robot played on our nightmares where you just can't get away from someone or something trying to kill you, even the third time around.
Do you even remember me? Sarah Connor? Blowing up Cyberdyne? Hasta la vista, baby? Ring any bells?
That was a different T-101.
What, do you guys come off an assembly line or something?
Exactly.
That from T3, of course.
It starts in an interesting place, Terminator, because, you know, usually the question is, will the robots take over the world? I mean, that's sort of what happens in the original play, Rossum's Universal Robots, RUR, where the robot, you know, starts a revolution. And in this one, we know the robots have taken over the world. And so one of them is sent back in time to... The rest is prehistory. Right.
Meaning. We're talking with Murray Horowitz, our favorite film buff on our favorite robot movies. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Nicholas is on the line with us from Houston.
Hello. One of my favorites is a little bit different. It's the Ghost in the Shell series, where it deals with people being put in the robots.
This is a Japanese anime.
Correct.
I don't know if you've been watching these.
No, but the idea of humans being inside machines. See, by me, this is not a real robot. So an interesting distinction, Nicholas, is in the current movie, Iron Man 3. I mean, the first two Iron Man pictures, he's a guy in a metal suit.
Correct.
But
correct.
In Iron Man 3, he's now got a whole fleet of robots, Iron Men. And so those are true robots to me.
Mm-hmm.
So you fail on ground rules.
Right.
I do fail on ground rules, but okay. You knock out TV shows I couldn't call in show bits.
Right.
Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot, Nicholas.
Let's see if we can – this email is next from Mark. A charming, funny, and touchingly human robot film from 2012. A lot of people may overlook Robot and Frank, a near-future film in which Frank Langella plays an elderly man who gets a robot helper, which he doesn't really like.
You have got to be kidding me. I'm not this pathetic. I don't need to be spoon-fed by some damn robot.
Chad, it's not like that. Okay? It's new. It's more like a butler.
You're going to leave me with this death machine?
What's the problem? It's a robot.
Hi, Frank. It's a pleasure to meet you.
How do you know?
Well, anything with Frank Langella.
it's a great Frank Langella line. This is essentially, you know, it's just like, you know, Terminator is basically a chase movie. And Robot and Frank is basically a buddy movie. It's, old man and his robot.
Let's go next to Willie. And Willie's on the line with us from Ocean City, Maryland.
Hi, Neil.
Hi.
I wanted to bring up the Borg from obviously Star Trek, First Contact.
Wind is blowing a little there on the beach, Willie. We're going to have to let you go for your cell phone. But he nominates the Borg from the Star Trek movie, I think number 9 in the series.
Right, and sure enough, that's. I mean, to me, is that really a classic robot? I mean, I'm glad Willie thinks so, and that's we'll
collective
accept the
intelligence.
Nomination.
Exactly, and they had a lot of metal in them, but I don't know.
It's true. It's
true. This is an interesting one. We forgot about this one. Yul Brynner was the best in Westworld.
We did not forget about it, and in fact, this is one of my favorite ones. At all, because this is a supremely evil, you know, pre-Terminator, pre-Arnold Schwarzenegger, supremely evil robot. It's basically kind of like Jurassic Park, which it's an amusement park where you can go and test your quick draw against robots. And guess what? One of the robots dressed in black is Yul Brynner and is evil and is shoots up the whole works.
Let's go next to this is John, and John is on the line with us from Rancho Cordova in California.
Hi. Yeah, I would like to mention Bicentennial Man, which was the true Isaac Asimov movie, and where they, you know, actually, you know, paid, I think, fully paid homage to Isaac Asimov's vision, unlike the Will Smith movie, where they just kind of decided to do their own thing with a totally different script.
And even more amazingly, they got Robin Williams to actually read the actual words in the script.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
One does not know, sir. Possibly a predator was behind the chicken. Or possibly there was a female chicken on the other side of the road if it was a male chicken. Possibly a food source, or depending on the season, it might be migrating. One hopes there's no traffic.
To get to the other side.
To get to the other side. Oh. Why is that funny?
That's a nice pick, John.
And the delicious irony of that being one of the funniest people alive, Robin Williams, doing that. It's a Chris Columbus film, and it is a great pick, John. Thanks.
We have just a little bit of time left, so we need to find out which picture wins the Murray.
Oh, God, this has been a really tough one, because Westworld was on my list, and Metropolis is on the list. But I have to say, nobody's phoned in with this one, but really my favorite of all of them is RoboCop. I really love RoboCop. It's a Paul Verhoeven movie. Paul Verhoeven always said it was like a Jesus story, that this cop is, you know, sacrificed, but then he is reborn and resurrected in a mechanical form. And it may be, you know, a guilty pleasure or cheap thrills, but I love that movie.
Drop it! Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
I know you. You're dead. We killed you.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't. No.
Well, we didn't. We're not going to kill you yet, Murray. We're going to bring you back next week. Great endings. Where did we come up with such an idea?
Great endings. Great endings. Okay.
Okay.
Or farewell scenes. Or
great farewell. Well, let's
tweak it.
We'll tweak it. All right.
Thanks
so much.
We'll
see Murray again next week, right here in Studio 52. Tomorrow, Talk of the Nation Science Friday, and it's on Monday. We'll be back to talk to you again. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.